David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's amazing the congruency that exists in all areas, careers, industries, and jobs. And I'm just blessed to have friends like you, associates like you that can help to amplify the message of empowering people to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. And that's my mission. And thank you for allowing me to share and do that here on your show.
I appreciate you jumping on. I was actually on your office hours as we were talking a couple of weeks ago. That was a lot of fun and wanted to reciprocate. I know you have a new book that launched earlier, I believe it was earlier this year, and wanted to talk about that. But before jumping in, for anyone that's never heard of David Meltzer, if you can give a quick who David is, and I want to dive into the book because I really enjoyed reading the book.
Yeah, I'm blessed to have a career based on capability. I graduated law school after wanting to be a professional football player, but ended up having a below average college football career and grew up as a mama's boy and still as a 58-year-old mama's boy. Grew up with nothing. My mom raised six kids on her own. She worked as a second grade teacher, filled up in our dinners in a paper bag and drove us around Akron, Ohio, filling up turnstiles with greeting cards at convenience stores just so we could eat. I just wanted to be rich. I wanted to buy my mom a house and a car. Like so many at-risk or underprivileged community members, I was blessed when I graduated law school. I got two job offers. Both would afford me to buy my mom a house and a car. One was an oil and gas litigator for an oil company, $150,000 a year plus bonus in 1992. The other, which I took against my mom's advice in 1992, was selling legal research on the internet. My mom told me the internet was a fad, never would work. It's interesting because I am a 58 years old mom's boy, but I never really took my mom's advice, but I watched her. So I know that my mom loved me too much. Most of the advice she gave me was out of fear and her need for stability and protection of me. So I always keenly looked at her advice like a handful of sand, like appreciated it, but let it fall through my fingers if it did resonate with me. But I ended up 9 months out of law school making my first million. 3 years later, we exited for $3.4 billion in 1995, let's be. And then I was wise enough to take the capabilities that I learned and move them to Silicon Valley, where I raised money and became a technology, not only investor, but salesperson executive as director of a middleware company, and led me from 1999 to over $100 million, being blessed to marry my dream girl for the fourth grade. You would have thought I had everything. I ran Samsung's data phone division, which were brand new. They called them convergence devices. They're now known as smartphones, but you would have thought I had everything. But what had happened over the years is I started to fill that God-sized hole with everything but God. And as I got hired from Samsung, because of my technology and venture capital background, when I got hired by Lee Steinberg, the most notable sports agents in the world, the one they made the movie Jerry Maguire about, to be CEO, hiring me not because of my law degree or my sports agentry acumen, but simply because I had the highest level of education in technology and venture capital. In the early 2000s, Lee Steinberg, a visionary, saw the future of sports in technology and venture capital, which if you realize the reason why he's the most notable sports agent in sports is that he's a visionary. He was absolutely correct. And I was the right person to hire. And I built a career in sports agentry and marketing over 20 years. Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, was my partner. But to teach me the overall bigger picture, I lost everything. I lost over $100 million. I went bankrupt. I lost my mom's house and she had to move. But that's where the story really begins there in 2008 when I found faith, I found God. And it wasn't just now the wisdom that I had gathered over the years and hard work and the things that I watched my mom, but I now was protected and promoted by more than my mom, but by God and the humility. You see this other sign behind me, it says, you're either humble or you're about to be. For 18 years, I've lived with that perspective. My name means David Meltzer. David means beloved. Meltzer means servant. My mom purposely named me that. And I tend and expect to live my life in alignment with my name. And so even here today, for your whole audience, anybody that would like my book, I will sign it, send it to them, pay for my book, pay for shipping. Just email beloved servant, David, beloved, D, my first initial, Meltzer servant at dmeltzer.com. For your entire community, I will pay for the book and ship it to everybody.
I really appreciate that. Great book. Love the title. There's no sugarcoating. And that's what I love about your advice and the things you talk about, the principles. I was going to touch on this later, but I had to write it down because I'm going to forget these. I'm going to touch on these really quick. My three takeaways. So I started following you on Instagram and then it led into your site and then the book. So number one, something I utilized from Dave, and this has been a game changer in my business, is your overlap agreement. I use that on a weekly basis. If we know someone in similar corners, we can refer each other back and forth. It's a formal agreement. You get it in writing. I'm 47, going to be 48 this year. We tend to forget. It's nice to have stuff in writing. So overlap agreement was a game changer in my business because we're highly referral based. So that's number one. Two and three, the three follow-up rule. I realize franchising isn't for everyone and I use that. It's actually built into my CRM more as a reminder so that I know to follow up. But just the wording and language, you know, helped me out quite a bit. And then something I need to work on, but I totally agree, health is first. That was one of your last posts. And you got to take care of yourself or else you can't do all the other stuff that you're out there to do. So I appreciate that. But that overlap agreement, I will say, has been a game changer. And I have referred that in your book to quite a few of my colleagues. So I appreciate that. When I think of David, there's this kind of three themes or three things, right? Make a lot of money, do business with people you enjoy working with, and have fun. Right? And you need to have, I think, all three for sustainability. So we'd love to have you either talk more about that or what are your kind of your four or five main principles? Because I feel like if you're missing one, you're going to be struggling. And I've definitely been struggling, not recently, but in the past, not having fun. That was the one that I got hit with really hard. So if you could talk a little bit more, because I think that is crucial. And that's really helped my business.
Yeah, let me talk about four different values that will allow you to enjoy, which means you're going to have fun, enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your potential. Whatever that may be, it may be your health, it may be your family, it may be your finance, it may be your faith, it may actually just be the study of time or relativity of that time. But beyond this idea, we need to enjoy the activities, the 24 hours of activity that we get every day. And so these four values will allow you to enjoy what most people don't enjoy. I always say the secret sauce of life is learning to love what you don't like or love about what you love. And if you don't believe me, at least I was able to convince my wife of that, which is probably the greatest way to have a happy marriage is to convince your wife to learn to love what she doesn't like or love about what she loves. But I use that same thing with all the different varying activities that occur circumstantially every day. And so the first value that will help everyone is a capability that is perspective forming. And that capability is called gratitude. It takes 0.1 seconds and it's free, by the way, but it's the simplest thing to do with the biggest impact in life. But I want to remind people of one of my favorite lessons, which is the simple things to do are simple not to do. So make sure you pay extra attention to the simple things that have extraordinary impact because it causes exponentiality of success in your life. Gratitude allows you to find the light, the love, and the lessons when there's no evidence. Gratitude allows you to find the light, the love, and the lessons when the evidence is contrary to where you want to be. If you are an entrepreneur or a business person, every day there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary that you're ever going to get to where you want to be. So you better have gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you want to be in whatever your divine direction that you think you want to be in. The second one is often overlooked. It's called forgiveness, empathy. You get perspective from gratitude, but you receive ease from forgiveness. And you see, the greater at ease we are, that means the less time we spend in what? Dis-ease. And dis-ease is that which interferes with where we want to be or better. If you categorize your activities in life, is this activity aligned with my divine direction? Or is this activity interfering with this divine direction? And those activities are intentional when you do say, think, feel, and believe. And so we start looking for clues and patterns of how we think, feel, believe, do, and say things. We start to realize, wow, I'm interfering with my divine direction too much of the time. I should only be spending minutes and moments in dis-ease and the majority of my time at ease. Therefore, I have to institute the capability of forgiveness to put me at ease. Forgiving myself for the failures, mistakes, setbacks, defining moments, the human aspect of the human experience. The third one is called accountability. And accountability is so interesting because accountability allows us to take control in a world full of uncertainty. When we know that we are accountable, we may, like I do, establish non-negotiable behaviors, which are behaviors that are non-circumstantial, which means no matter what the war is, the interest rates are, the weather is, the delays are, the arguments are that I'm in, no matter what, I'm going to spend a minimum amount of time, 12 hours a day on non-negotiable behaviors. And the majority of it is sleeping. I'm a big sleep fan. I'm a best sleeper maybe in the world. I'm in the Hall of Fame of sleep at the very least. I recover better than anyone I know, and I access information to elevate my awareness to transcend it each and every day. And so for me, understanding accountability says, what did I do? What did I do to be responsible? What did I do to attract this? What am I doing to participate in this perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Which gives me control of the uncontrollable. With non-negotiable behaviors like my sleep, my health, my family, my faith, my finance, the study of time, and the study of the relativity of that time to align the meaning of my past with my divine direction. Because most people limit themselves by the meaning they give the mistakes, failures, and setbacks, defining moments, historical relevances of today. They limit their self-image, and nobody will ever overachieve their own self-image. So I teach the non-negotiable practice of what? Relativity alongside. So those are 12 hours. Now we're accountable for the other 12 hours of awake time where I say, what did I learn from being responsible, attracting it, and participating in perception? And then finally, effective communication. You talked about the overlap agreement. The overlap agreement is a templated document that is for effective communication to stay in the flow, inspired. It's not a binding agreement. It is an agreement to remember, remind, and recollect how I can be of service, who I can help and who can help me. So we keep it open-ended, but just as a reminder, what was the name of that guy that I promised if I ran into a dentist, I would, when he'd give me a Starbucks card or whatever it may be, or he's getting me a speaking engagement and I'm giving him 20% for a speaking engagement, open-ended to the fact that if circumstances should change, I'm still going to communicate, hey man, you referred me your friend, but they're having financial trouble. So I gave them dental services for free. Would it be okay I don't send you the Starbucks card because I was providing value to your friend? Where I've seen those situations occur, a third party said, thank you for that referral to the dentist. He was great. But they don't tell you because out of embarrassment that they had to get it for free. Meanwhile, in your mind, you feel cheated because you never got your Starbucks card and you ruin your relationship with the guy because he was a good guy to you. And you much rather him give your friend dental service for free than a Starbucks card. This is why the overlap agreement is so important, because it's a non-binding memorialization to remind, remember, and recollect how we can be of service to one another. And it creates a community of people that do two things that will guarantee everyone success. We want a whole bunch of people to buy from us and sell for us for life. And the overlap agreement allows us. So what is it? This effective communication, clear example, the overlap agreement do? It allows us to live in spirit, inspired. It allows us to connect and minimize the interference between us and an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source of intuition, intelligence, inspiration, and energy. And who doesn't need more intelligence, intuition, inspiration, and energy? Stop interfering with it. If you use gratitude for perspective, forgiveness for ease, accountability for control, and effective communication for inspiration, you will make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and have a lot of fun. In other words, you'll be happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy. I guarantee it if you focus in on what you're doing to interfere with it.
I love that. It's straight to the point. It's clear. It's concise. I guess the question comes, you get sidetracked in life. You mentioned you get your sleep. Maybe that sleep gets in half, right? You're traveling. We just got back from Japan. My sleep's been screwed up for a while. So maybe you get 5 hours instead of 8 hours. You're working with a client. All of a sudden, they ghost you. They go MIA on you. What do you do in those times? How do you get back on track? Because the principles are very easy to understand. But what happens? What's your to kind of get you refocused and said, okay, hold on a second. I'm overreacting here. What would be the first thing you do?
Well, first of all, realize that when those interferences come up, circumstances that you weren't expecting, notating, of course, if you come up with a well-developed plan, God will laugh at you. So that's why we have non-negotiable behavior that says, hey, no matter what happens, I'm going to do this. But when it does happen, right, we got to make it a super priority and double down so that we don't stack losses and losses in a row. See, we have to understand that our normal response to an interference is either we want control, or we want to defend ourselves, or we want to prove ourselves. And we need to release that. And so what most people do when they want to take control or defend themselves or prove themselves because of an interfering action, word, thought, belief, or feeling is they resist it. They try to use force. And when you try force or resistance, it creates a counterforce. In other words, what you resist persists. They try to go over it or under it, around it or through it. They'll lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, or even deny it. And that will either continue to create more resistance, more L's, or it'll accelerate you in the wrong direction, which is even worse than creating more resistance when you're trying to get to a certain direction. And so what do? We use free will and faith to get us to where we want to be or better. So we identify when we're trying to control, defend, or prove, when we have a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, or worried. And instead of trying to go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, cheat it, manipulate it, deny it, we just stop. We stop. We use our free will to stop, and we breathe, and we drop down to center, where we recollect, remind, and remember our God, our source of infinite energy, intuition, intelligence, and inspiration. And then we roll into our divine direction of where we think we want to be or better. Once again, correcting behaviors and utilizing the non-negotiables and the circumstantial or negotiable behaviors in the divine direction, and realign the meaning of the past, the control, the defend, or prove. And so an easier way to remember it, when you like the straightforward, pragmatic David Meltzer, look, my mom gives me great advice and has for such a long time. And one of the things she taught me at a young age, not just to say thank you, but she said, son, if you catch on fire, now I didn't know she meant mental, physical, spiritual fire, but if you catch on fire, emotional fire, just stop, breathe and drop and roll back into your divine direction of what you want or think that you want, aligning the meaning of the past, who you can help, who can help you, how best to do that to be productive, accessible, and gracious, and reprioritize according to what's important to you, using urgency as a subset. So instead of searching for your why and resisting it with force, apply your why by decreasing the distance between every problem has the solution already in it. It's just the lapse of time till we find the solution. It's already there. We just have to have a lapse of time till it becomes what? A resolution, a resolution. And so my job is to teach people how to lessen the resistance, shorten the distance, so that the amount of time that they spend in resistance, in interference, is minutes and moments, not days, weeks, months, and years. Because when they catch on fire, they stop, drop, and roll.
That's big, because then the other person is saying, well, I'm just impatient. No, you're not impatient. You just don't know how to get there. So it's a complete mind shift. And that's a lot of the stuff I've learned over the years following you. So sounds like we have some smart moms, some smart parents. I didn't appreciate a lot of the advice my parents gave me growing up. And now that I'm going to be approaching 50 and two high school kids, you start to appreciate a lot more. So hopefully it comes full circle.
It does, man. Just remember, we're planting seeds under trees we may never sit under. So every time your kid rolls their eyes at them, just say thank you and let them go ahead and acknowledge they heard you, and then plant the seed back in their brain by rolling their eyes.
Awesome. I like that. I'm actually going to send them this episode. They said, who are you interviewing today? I mentioned your name. My kids are younger. And I go, remember the movie Jerry Maguire? And then that's how the conversation started. So that was
I'm lucky
cool,
they knew the movie Jerry Maguire if they're that young, man.
No, they're big in the 80s, 90s movies. They love it. So we've been watching a lot of
Netflix.
Yeah. Thank God. It's just on autopilot. We had John Candy playing the other day, and it was just like, let's go down the list. Every movie, John Candy, maybe not all appropriate for them, but it was fun. We watched them all. I know, just to be respectful of time. So a lot of people we got all types of people listening in, but a majority are people looking to make that first leap into entrepreneurship. We specialize in figuring out, hey, is franchise or business ownership the right fit? And then we figure out what that ideal fit is. What is that specific franchise? What advice do you give to the individuals making that kind of that big leap? They're not happy with their jobs. They were in tech and recently laid off. They're overwhelmed. I was in the same boat over 25 years ago. A lot of people are at different stages in life. What advice would you give to them? Because it is a very kind of overwhelming experience.
Yeah, I have two things to look at. One is take inventory of skills, knowledge, and desire. A lot of people don't take that inventory. They don't take the inventory of what skills they have, what knowledge they have, or can teach or learn, and what their desires are, what turns them on. So if you take inventory of your skills, your knowledge, and desires, and you align it with what's doing well today, what's stable today, and then what you think is going to be doing well in the future, you can go ahead and coordinate your timing and risk tolerance accordingly. And so if you go in to explore a franchise, which there's so much value of a franchise because you've allowed someone else to pay the dummy tax. Inherent in a franchise is 0 to 1 takes a lot longer and is a lot more expensive than 1 to 100. And franchises have taken care of the 0 to 1 and have paid the dummy tax. So don't worry about state taxes. Everybody doesn't want to live in California. And I've said, look, 12% extra to live here. It's a weather tax, one. It's an opportunity tax too, because there's more opportunity here because the weather's so great. And then 3, who cares about any taxes? Because dummy tax costs me over 100 mil, man. Dummy tax costs you everything you've ever had, plus what you will have in the future. So why don't you focus in on the dummy tax and go ahead and see what franchise is aligned with the skills, knowledge, and desires that you have, of what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well, and then develop your timing and risk tolerance to determine, okay, I want a franchise that's extremely stable, a McDonald's, or that's doing really right now, like the bagel, whatever that hot bagel franchise is mm-hmm. that everybody wants. Or maybe it's an AI franchise of something I think is going to be doing well, or it's a combination of all three, like a McDonald's that has a lot of stability, but also has some AI things coming out. Who knows, depending on how much money. So I think this formula works really well with business alone, but let alone franchises, that most people don't take inventory of their skills, knowledge, and desire. They're just too impulsive, and they definitely don't examine their timing and risk tolerance. If you align all of those, at worst, you're going to be disappointed, but you'll never be resentful and guilty. And if you don't do this, you'll end up not only losing all your money or being disappointed, but resentment and guilt will interfere with your future success or your current success. So please follow or adhere to that template. Once again, this shit's in my book, so I can offer it to everybody to email me. I'll sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping, pay for the book for anyone in this community, david@themeltzer.com.
That's very generous of you. I greatly appreciate it. If someone wants to work with you directly, or even, I guess, two places, please. Right? Where do they find your info? And then if they want to work with you directly, who do you work with and how do they go about that?
Yeah. First of all, I love to work with you even more because you and I are so aligned frequency. So here's how I work with people. I do most of what I do for free. So I travel to 200 cities, do meetups, holding courts, interviews. I have a free Wednesday training. I'm the chairman of Napoleon Hill. I have free Friday trainings. I have free shows. Where you've been, free as me, and please email me. I got a free newsletter that informs you of all kinds of stuff, free community text messaging. Then I have a group, which if anybody's ready, it isn't free, but it's guaranteed. So it's $497 a year. It's a coaching and networking group. We meet virtually every Monday. The replays are available. We have a private networking group with overlap agreements. And we guarantee it for any reason. If you have financial troubles, get your money back. If you don't like my eyebrows, get your money back. I don't give a shit. But the reason we charge for the group is we want to qualify people, because if you can't afford it yet, you're not ready for the group. Or if you're not going to be engaged, you won't see the value, because it's guaranteed. If someone says, no, it's because we know you're not going to show up or use it. So we don't want you. And then I have a one-on-one wait list where I work with anyone. Please join my wait list if you want me to help you one-on-one. And that's a month-to-month guaranteed thing as well. And then I have business advisory and consulting and investment for bigger opportunities. I'm always vetting those. I have a Meltzer Funding, Meltzer Cap. I do a lot of advisory consulting and investing. And if I can help you, we have a huge network of people to help finance or capitalize what you're trying to do, including franchises. So that's the spectrum of David Meltzer. Best way to reach me is email me directly. David, his first name means beloved. D is my first initial. Meltzer means servant. Let me be your beloved servant for free group, one-on-one consulting, advisory, or investment. David@themeltzer.com.
And the latest book, really quick, we got a minute left. What is the latest book? I just picked up a copy.
Don't Do Business with Dicks, How to Ditch Toxicity and Align with the Positive Influences in Your Life. And I just want to tell people, I've written 8 books. Compassionate Capitalism, Unstoppable, Creating the Life You Love, Connected to Goodness, Game Time Decision Making. Those are great books, but I'm amazed. Well, you can't sell a secret. So I've learned a lesson. You better title your book something that people want to buy. You're much better having a great title than a great book. Now, this is both, I promise, but you can't sell a secret. Nobody's going by the airport going, oh, Compassionate Capitalism. I really want to read that. Well, that's more like a professor buying it for his class, because they want to learn about capitalism.
True. That's true.
But everybody like on earth, when they see this title with the big rocket ship on it, they're like, dude, I got to read that book. I got screwed over by my best friend, my cousin, my mom, my dad. Don't do business. That's my motto. And so please, anybody out there that wants to write a book, make sure you're very clear on the title as a marketing tool. It is not an information of your book.
I saw the title. I thought you were from the East Coast. I thought you were from Jersey or New York because we're really rough sometimes. Yeah. So
people are worried it was off brand because my other books are so spiritual and open, giving and kindness. Right. I was like, no, this is marketing. So it's still the same Dave Meltzer inside the cover, but we got to get more people to join our forces. The millions of people already have, I am blessed and grateful for. As I am for you. Thank you so much for allowing me. Let's sing more together.
Absolutely, David. Listen, I really appreciate it. I know your time is valuable. David Meltzer, again, take advantage of the free book offer. We'll put that in the show notes. David, looking forward to catching up very soon. And thanks again.
God bless you, my friend. Have a great
weekend.
Again.
You too.
Take care.
Take care.